Let the record show that it is Thursday, October the 2nd, and this is the Internal Affairs agenda, and I think we should just leap right into it with the item number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, item one is the recommendations for the fiscal year 2015-16 legislative budget request, and we are here seeking your consensus. As you may recall, our LBR is our budget authority for the following year. We're dealing with 15 and 16 now, and for 15 and 16, we are proposing just one commission issue that would eliminate two vacant positions. We have been, and we continue to work with our management to evaluate the workload and the responsibilities and our staffing needs. In some instances, we are able to strategically shift and minimize or even alleviate functions and still maintain a high quality of work product. To that end, as I said, we've identified two vacant positions that can be eliminated, and this issue results in a total reduction of $101,946. Our LBR also contains two technical adjustments. I would remind you that these technical adjustments are essentially out of our control at the Commission. They are necessary as a result of non-recurring budget issues that were passed during the 14 fiscal cycle. One of them is for vehicles. Essentially, that's backing up non-recurring budget authority to replace vehicles. So that is a reduction. And the second is the lease consolidation expense, essentially moving expenses for the relocation of our Tampa office, yes. This move was related to a statewide lease consolidation effort that was instituted a few years back. The budget amendments, or these technical adjustments, are going to delete this budget as it was intended. That is the balance of the issues that we have going for 15 and 16. We're available to answer questions if you have. Otherwise, we would seek your approval so that we can file our LBR as required October 15th.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions of the Executive Director on the LBR? Commissioner Shager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To this meeting, recognize that the October 15th is a statewide deadline for all agencies.
Yes, it is.
And it is the first step in a very long budgeting process that we and every state agency will go through, and I support this document recognizing the stage that we're at.
Yeah, to your comments, Commissioner, this is in fact the rollout of the LBR, and the process is long, and it culminates with the next session, and in between here and there are several meetings with our budget counterparts in the legislature as well as the governor's office. So we maintain good relations with them and keep them apprised of what our intentions are for our fiscal activities, and that will continue to be the case.
Any other questions of the Executive Director? Okay, he's looking for some direction. I would say, I guess we'll take a motion to approve.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Approval of the LBR. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By your action, you have approved.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Item number two.
Good afternoon. Samantha Sabula and Ben Stafford on behalf of the Commission staff. This item is to brief you on two related federal matters pertaining to Federal Energy Regulatory Commission Order 1000. They are FERC's decision on Order 1000 compliance plans for Tampa Electric Company, Duke Energy Florida, and Florida Power and Light, and the United States District Court of Appeals decision on the challenges to Order 1000. First, some background on Order 1000. And when I refer to Order 1000, I'm referring to both Order 1000 and 1000A collectively. Order 1000 transmission needs. The order requires transmission-owning utilities to develop regional plans to comply with the directives set forth in the order. FERC must approve the compliance plans, and state commissions are allowed to participate as stakeholders in the proceeding. A number of entities appealed Order 1000 to the District Court of Columbia. The Public Service Commission intervened in the appeal in support of the Alabama Public Service Commission. The appeal did not stay the proceedings before FERC, so the utilities were required to submit their regional plans to comply with Order 1000. So there were two simultaneous tracks for Order 1000, the compliance plan proceeding before FERC and the D.C. Circuit Court appeal. Decisions were recently made in both of those proceedings. FERC issued a decision in the compliance filing proceeding for the FRCC utilities, which are Tampa Electric, Duke, and Florida Power and Light. In that proceeding, we argued on rehearing that FERC was infringing on our authority over transmission planning and reliability, and that FERC was imposing requirements that pushed the Florida utilities to form an RTO-like structure. FERC rejected both of our requests for rehearing. The second compliant order is quite extensive, but makes a number of findings. And a few of the findings that are notable are that FERC confirms that utilities may continue to use the bottom-up transmission planning approach. However, FERC states that it requires the utilities to take the additional step of determining whether there are more efficient or cost-effective transmission solutions to meet regional transmission needs. FERC states that it views the federal and state planning processes as separate obligations and confirms that nothing in Order 1000 requires transmission providers to modify their state plans, which is good news for the Commission. Order 1000. The opinion is also quite extensive, but of importance to the Commission is that it addresses the issues raised in our request for rehearing before FERC. FERC found that the court found that FERC has the authority to require transmission providers to participate in a regional planning process. The court also does not infringe on state regulation of transmission planning and siting and construction. And although the court specifically mentioned the Florida Public Service Commission, are substantially involved in regulating the transmission planning process, the court concluded that the Federal Power Act does not preclude FERC's regulation of transmission planning as set forth in Order 1000. And in this regard, the court found that FERC has authority over transmission and that FERC's authority has expanded over time because transmission over interconnected grids constitutes transmission in interstate commerce. So that was the basis of their decision. There is an opportunity to hearing or seek appeal of FERC's second compliance order. However, the Commission seek rehearing or appeal because of the D.C. Circuit Court's decision. It resolves the issues, we believe. And the FRCC utilities must submit further compliance filings to FERC by November 4th, and we'll continue to monitor the proceeding, and the staff is available for any questions.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you, staff. Commissioners, any questions or comments to staff? Commissioner Balbus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few comments. I'm pleased to see that at least FERC recognized some of the issues that we addressed, and they made some comments to that effect, but I'm extremely disappointed in the D.C. Circuit Court's opinion. And I'll just restate what I've stated all along throughout this process, and that the last thing that I want to have happen is that Florida customers to pay for transmission projects where they don't receive a benefit from. And also having an additional bureaucratic process for transmission planning. I think this state is unique. We deal with weather issues and other issues, lack of interconnection with other states that I think this state handles very well on its own. Hopefully this does not result in, again, another bureaucratic process that slows down the process. And I will turn to the attorneys on the commission to see if we should request rehearing, but I do think that if they've already addressed our issues, I don't know if it warrants additional action.
Commissioner Egger.
Thank you. I would say ditto. I'm very pleased with the work that our staff has done weighing in on these issues on our behalf along the lines and concerns that Commissioner Balbus has restated. But I do think that this has probably hit the end of the line for that particular avenue. I know they will, but would ask our staff to continue to monitor all of these issues very, very closely. I think there will be other opportunities as these orders continue to be implemented over time.
Any other commissioners? Okay. Staff, thank you very much for all your effort and your time. Okay. Item number 3, Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Commissioners. Me again. I had alluded earlier in the LBR report as to the lease consolidation program, and I just wanted to give you a quick update. Our move of the Tampa office has actually been completed as of the end of September. So we're now in the Trammell building. Yes, I didn't have it here. I'm sorry. In any case, generating savings of about $12,000 a year with the move. So just a quick update on that.
Is that it?
Oh, that's it. I'm sorry.
Any comments or questions to the Executive Director? Okay. Other matters?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
You might want to just ask Mark Fitchell of our staff on the implementation of Senate Bill 272, the petition process. The rulemaking on that, to implement that, is going very well. And so in the event, since there were a number of legislators that were very interested in that, and some of you may run across over the next few days, and if they ask you where that's at, we want to make sure you all know, and so Mark can give a very quick update on where the development of that rule is.
Thank you, Commissioners. The staff has prepared a draft rule to address the changes in the new legislation in the Senate bill. We have issued a notice for a staff workshop on next Tuesday, October 7th at 1 o'clock, to review, to make ourselves available to folks who want to come and comment on the draft. We will request written comments on the draft and then take that in consideration. And then the next step would be the CERC process, the Statement of Estimated Regulatory Cost, to estimate the cost impact of the rule. And then our intention is to bring a draft for you to consider proposing at the December 16th regular agenda.
Yes.
Mark, do you have an idea of what the rate of the CERC would be, if any, at this point?
We do not. Again, the typical process after the staff workshop, we'll look at the comments of the folks who participated, make some tweaks to the rule if they're appropriate, and then we'll do a handoff to the staff who will conduct the CERC.
Okay.
And then that process will start. They will go through a process of seeking input from affected parties and the public, take that into consideration as they try to calculate the potential cost of the rule.
So it'll come right back before us in December 16th?
Correct. You'll see with what you'll see in December, the staff will give you draft language that you can consider to propose, and then attached to that will be the CERC.
Mm-hmm. Would that be the last opportunity for us to review and implement it?
I think that's the proposal, and then there'll be an opportunity to adopt the rule at a subsequent proceeding.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mark? Thank you very much. Any other matters? I have a other matter. We have, as you know, our general counsel is planning on retiring at the end of the year. And before I continue, I want to make sure, because this always gets messed up in the press, I had nothing to do with him leaving or deciding to retire. He decided on his own. I think so far, the 4 years that I've been here with him, he's had a spotless record. As far as, I think we had about 40 cases, 40 of our final orders that were challenged, and we haven't had any of them overturned. So both you and your staff need to be applauded for that. Of course, now is not the time to do that. I'm sure there's going to be other times before you leave to actually roast you.
Hope so.
But I want to prepare for the General Counsel, and I want to start off with just an interim replacement, and I'm looking for about a 6-month period of time, and I want to do an interim because I like there and established for a while, and then another person coming in, because it's just difficult comparing one to the other. So it's good to have that disconnect there. And I want to wait for the new commissioner to come in, because we know we do have no disrespect. Our industry, as you all know, is very highly specialized. And it's not easy to find an attorney that can fit in and can do the job. Usually you have to find someone either in the industry or someone from within, or even some of the interveners that come before us. Now, I've always believed that our staff has always had a well-balanced approach. However, you know, at this moment in the PSC history, the public is looking for reassurance that we're committed to the customer's interests. And so thinking about all those things, I approached a gentleman, and his name is Charlie Beck, and he was on our general counsel for about 27 years. I think he served very, very well. I know he represented the OPC before the federal agencies in different proceedings. He represented OPC before the Supreme Court. He's a former JAG officer. You know how I feel about the military. He was on both sides, both the prosecution and the defense side. So he understands the applicable role that you're supposed to be taking as you move forward with different issues. He is a University of Florida grad. And maybe a fresh set of eyes to the inside of the commission. We're not going to be making any decisions today, but you have his resume in front of you. We're going to have a special IA on October the 22nd, which is going to be before our fuel clause hearing. So it'll be starting at 9 o'clock, like from 9 to 9:30. And so between now and then, I would encourage you to contact him, ask him questions, interview him, vet whatever. And to make sure that this choice is palatable for everybody. And if there's any concerns, just bring it up, if any questions. And then after that meeting, we'll decide where we go from there. Any questions? Commissioner Davis.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, reviewing his resume, you indicated that he worked for the commission for 20 plus years, but he actually worked for the Office of Public Counsel?
No, I'm sorry, the Office of the Public Counsel, okay. OPC.
Okay.
He's been the consumer advocate for 27 years.
Okay, and then the other thing, is there a way that we can force Mr. Kaiser to continue to have his holiday party? Mr. Beck, I don't know if I have met him before, but do we coordinate with him or with HR?
You coordinate directly with him, and he'd be more than happy to take your phone calls. And just to remind you, you were just leaving. You were just getting here as he was leaving, because he retired just at that time. And I think the only meeting you were at was when we actually voted on the big, huge Florida Power and Light case.
The settlement.
Yeah, he's the one he was the key on that to negotiate that deal.
Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Any other question? Commissioner Agar.
Not really a question. Well, I do have one question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do have one question and a comment, if I may. And first is to Kurt. And, of course, we will have more discussions between now and then. But when is your last day? I know we've talked about it, but
it's a little fuzzy. One to serve 5 years. So that 5 years is up December 1. So I'll definitely be here through December 1st. The chairman twisted my arm to make sure I would be here for up through December 16th, so I'll definitely be here through the 16th. Whatever leftover vacation days that I have that's over and above the amount they compensate you for, I'll likewise use those, so I may technically be on the payroll roughly to the first of the year, but in terms of being here every day and that sort of thing, probably only should plan on about somewhere between December 1st and December 16th. But December 1st, for sure, I'll be here through that date.
Okay. Thank you. And mm-hmm. I fully support using vacation time here.
Yeah.
And
then
did have to be here as a commissioner for a few years while Mr. Beck was serving as deputy public counsel. I don't know him well personally, but I do remember him appearing before us, and I've always found him to be very professional, very knowledgeable, effective, and very reasonable. So I'm pleased and excited about the opportunity to talk to him. I will reach out as you've suggested, and I look forward to asking him what his approach will be coming in, but I expect it to be very positive, so I look forward to that discussion. As you've pointed out, he certainly will be very familiar with the applicable statutes, but yet Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to commend you. During the time that I've been here, we've had four different general counsels. We had a little turnover there for a while, and personnel matters, of course, are always general counsel is a very, very important position, and one that reports to all. To kind of inquire and begin a search and to make a proposal. And I think that's kind of the way it has been handled even before I got here. So I thank you for taking the initiative, but also giving us the opportunity to weigh in, and I look forward to talking to him. So thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Well, I do thank you all very much. Once again, I think you'll be just as impressed with Mr. Beck as I've been. And if there's nothing else to come before us, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, and travel safe.